Our topic tonight, continuing with 1 Kings chapter 13, is I think the fourth message that we've gotten out of this one chapter. It's just jam-packed with stuff. Every chapter is jam-packed with stuff. You know, we can just study the Bible forever. This one's titled, A Man of God and a False Prophet. So review, a man of God went from Bethel, from Judah to Bethel, from Judah in the south, the southern country, the southern territory, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, with Levi as well, down the south. He left that country and went to the northern country of Israel, the 10 tribes up there, by the word of the Lord. God sent him to go and give a message to the king of the northern tribes, the king of Israel, who had just recently broken off from the southern tribes. And he had this golden calf that he had set up, and he was about to dedicate it and worship in front of it. And the man of God comes there, rebukes the altar, and prophesies against it. The prophecies come to pass. The altar breaks apart. The ashes fall out on the ground. The king tries to get him arrested. The king's arm gets withered. The prophet prays for him. The king's hand is healed. And then the king invites him over to dinner. The king said, "Come home with me." And the man of God said, "The word of the Lord commanded me, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came." And so he left and he went another way on his way back down to Judah. An old prophet went after him, after the man of God, and he said, "Come home and eat with me." And the man of God said, "I cannot." And he went through the whole story again. And the word of the Lord said that I can't and not to. And so this old prophet says to him, "I too am a prophet. An angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water." And the Bible tells us there that he was lying, but the man of God from Judah didn't realize he was lying, and he went with the man. And the man of God went with him and ate, and when he left, a lion killed him. That's what we covered over the last few weeks up to that point. So how could the man of God know that this older man, this old prophet he's referred to, how could the man of God know that the old prophet was lying to him? How could he know? The guy says, "I am a prophet also. And the word of the Lord came to me, an angel came to me and said, you can come and eat with me in my house." How could he know that that was a lie?
Well, he heard God originally from God, and being he changed, he was out from there.
That's our study tonight. So how can we spot a true prophet? And conversely, how can we spot a false prophet? Very, very important topic. Very important that we understand how to be able to tell and distinguish between the two, because the Bible tells us, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his prophets so they can reveal it to us so that we can know God's plan for this earth. So we can know God's path for us and for this world as a whole. God does nothing. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So it's important for us to be able to discern right from the wrong. How can we know? How can we know that the Bible is right? How can we know that whether or not the Quran is right or wrong? How can we know whether someone comes up to us and says, this is a prophecy that God gave to me for you? How can we know if it's true or not true? Someone's prophesying the end of the world is going to come. How can we know whether or not that's true or not true? Someone comes to you and says, I prophesy you're going to have twins. How do you know if that's true or not true? Lord God does nothing unless he reveals it, the secret, to his servants, the prophets. 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." So we're not just to throw everything out. So believe not every spirit. So don't believe everything. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. And we have usually two extremes. There's some people who just believe everything and anything. Sounds good. Hey, I'm hungry. This angel said, I should go and eat with you. I'm going to go and eat with you. It sounds good to do it. And there's others who won't believe anything. The Bible says, don't believe every spirit, but believe the ones, whether they are from God, and try them. Put them through some kind of a test. That's what we're going to look at tonight. What are the tests? How can we try them? What tests can we put them through to tell whether they are a true prophet or a false prophet? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Satan has said many false prophets out there. There's many false. It doesn't just say, well, just don't, you know, regard everything. It says try them because there are many false prophets, but that means just in its indication that there are also at least some true prophets. Otherwise, it would just say, don't believe anybody. I don't believe anything since the Bible was written. But it says try the spirits to see whether or not they're from God because there are false prophets out there. You need to be able to discern between false prophets, like that old man who came and led the man of God. Just don't think, well, I'm a man of God. I won't get it wrong. Are you more of a man of God than that man of God who went from Judah, heard the word of the Lord, and went up there and prophesied against that altar, and that altar split just as he said, and the ashes came out right there, and had the king's hand wither right in front of him, and then prayed, and the king's hand was healed right there in front of him? Are we more of a man of God than that man was? And he got deceived. He got tricked. He got fooled, and it cost him his life. Test every spirit and see whether or not they are from God. So what is the test? How can we try them? So, a true prophet of God will speak, according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. In other words, the law and to the prophets, to those who have testified in God's name, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Was the old man speaking according to the law and to the prophets? The law and to the testimony? No, what was the testimony from God? Don't eat in that land. Don't drink with the king. Don't eat, drink in that land and go back another way. This man came with a different message that was contrary to a message that God had already given to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, they don't speak according to the Bible, if they don't speak to the law and to the prophets, they're not in agreement with them, it is because there is no light in them. So, to the tests of a true prophet are right there. They must speak in harmony with God's law, God's Ten Commandments, God's law, God's Torah. Must be in harmony with that. Their message must be in harmony with the word of the Lord. There's a lot of people today who profess to believe the Bible, and they say the law of God has been done away with. Well, they're saying the law of God is done away with. Can they possibly be speaking according to the law? No, right off the bat, they're not speaking according to the law. If in one sermon they're saying the law has been done away with, the law has been nailed, it's been abolished. Well, right there, I don't care what they say then from there on out. They're not speaking according to the law and to the testimony. And according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, there is no light in them. They must be in harmony with God's law, and in harmony with the other prophets that have passed the test of the prophets, in harmony with the other prophets. So if someone comes along and says, Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Paul, is saying this in contrary against what Moses said. Yes, Moses said this. Moses gave this. The law gave this. The Torah said this. Moses was a prophet. But here we are now in this new age. Here we are now in this new time. Here we are in this second part of the Bible. And now Paul comes along and says this, and it totally nullifies all that other stuff. If we interpret Paul that way, if we interpret the second part of the Bible that way, then either one or two things we're saying. Either we're misinterpreting the writings of Rabbi Paul, or we're saying he was a false prophet. I don't believe he was a false prophet. I believe he passes the test of a true prophet. But I believe those who say Paul said this, and that's why this has now been done away with, they are misinterpreting the writings of Paul. And one of the reasons they're misinterpreting the writings of Paul is because there's no light in them. That's right. They have rejected the law and they have rejected the prophets. And so then they look at the second part of the Bible and they misinterpret it, because they've already misinterpreted the first part of the Bible by saying it's nullified. Once you say that, well, then there's no light to be able to interpret the second part of the Bible. No light, and the light comes from the Lord. The Lord is the light giver. The Lord is the one who created light. And the very first thing, he said, let there be light. And he brought light into this world. And so if we deny that God is the creator, we deny that he created the world as he said, we deny the Bible's description of creation, then we are not receiving of God's light. And then there is no light in us. There's no light of the Lord in us to be able to discern the rest of the scriptures. It's like trying to read the Bible in darkness. We need the light of God. We need God's presence illuminating our mind and our heart. And Yeshua is the light of the world. He needs to illuminate our mind, give us the ability to discern spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We need God's Spirit to be able to discern God's Word. And if we're rejecting God's Word, rejecting God's law, rejecting the testimony of the prophets that have gone before us, we will not have the light to be able to understand the second part of the Bible or anything there, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, or anything, at least not correctly. It's very important, first two tests of a true prophet. Speak according to the law and according to the prophets. And right there off that, you can see we've just eliminated a whole bunch of people who claim to be prophets right off the bat. There's a, oh, identify some more things here. Okay, another test. If the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the oracle does not come true, that oracle was not spoken by the Lord. Well, that's a pretty simple test. Their prophecies have to come true. If their prophecies don't come true, well, then they're not a prophet of the Lord, because the Lord's prophecies come true. And of course, there are conditions. Right? The prophet Jonah went to Nineveh, and he said this city is going to be destroyed. Was the city destroyed? No. But it was based on the condition that if they did not repent, the city would be destroyed. And they repented, and thus they were not destroyed. But later on, several years later, many years later, they went back into their sinful habits, and the city was destroyed, and the inhabitants were destroyed. And so the prophecies are conditional. And that's, again, when they speak in the name of the Lord. Right? It says, if the prophet, from Deuteronomy chapter 18, 21 and 22, if the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the oracle does not come true, that oracle was not spoken by the Lord. Doesn't mean the prophets are infallible. You just ask them their opinion on something. You know, you give them a math equation, they get it wrong. Oh, they're not a true prophet of God. No. If they're speaking in the name of the Lord. Hey, we have a Bible example of that. Remember, David wanted to build the temple. David called his prophet Nathan to come to him, and Nathan showed him. He said, I want to build this temple to the Lord, and here are the plans. And Nathan said, boy, that looks impressive. I like that. That's a great idea. Patted him on the back and started to walk home. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Nathan and said, oh, no, 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 no. I didn't say he's going to build that. you go back and tell him he's not going to build that, but that his son is going to build that. And so Nathan had to backtrack and go, oh, king, the Lord just spoke to me. And in the name of the Lord has spoken. And the Lord said, you're not going to build that temple. But your son is going to. So again, he was just, the first time, he was just speaking off the top of his head. He was speaking from his heart. He was speaking from his humanity. That looks like a good idea. I think it's a good idea, David. He wasn't saying in the name of the Lord. The Lord gave me this prophecy that is right. Prophets are still human. So they can still give their own opinion. And their opinion might be wrong. They might get that math equation wrong. But that does not mean that when they speak in the name of the Lord, then it must come to pass and be accurate. When the word of the prophet, from Jeremiah 28:9, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. So again, two different places, the Bible confirming itself that their prophecies have to be true. Their prophecies have to come to pass. Have to be accurate. There's a guy, a very famous television guy. Well, actually another radio guy. Prophesied several things that flat out did not come to pass. They gave dates of when it was going to come to pass. And it came and it went and it did not come to pass. And it amazes me. People still watch their television program. People still listen to his radio program. People obviously are still sending them money. There's another guy who wrote a bunch of books back in the 1970s and 80s. Made some very clear, distinct prophecies, interpretations. Totally wrong. You can't buy those books anymore on the bookshelf. But the guy's writing new books. He's written other books since then. People are still buying the books. Another guy, he runs a whole television ministry, a whole television station. And every year, out in January, he comes out with his prophecies for the year. And they don't come to pass. It doesn't matter. Next year's another chance. And he'll do it again the next year. The Lord said, if I don't raise a certain amount of money, I'm going to die. Send in your money. We're not even talking about the Gene Dixon type stuff that, you know, they get some things right. The devil is able to impress some truths, some accuracy. Those guys, the palm readers, stuff, they get about 30% right on average. But so we have to test it. Their prophecies have to come to pass. To prophetic accuracy. Harmony with the law, God's law, harmony with the other prophets, and prophetic accuracy. By their fruits, you will recognize them. Are their fruits? How are their life? Is their life in harmony with the law of God? Is their life in harmony with the prophets, the writings, the scriptures? Are they manifesting the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, meekness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Again, a prophet is not necessarily infallible. We've got prophets who've made mistakes in the Bible. Moses was a prophet. He made mistakes. David was a prophet, made mistakes. But they repented of those mistakes. And repentance is just as much a fruit of the Spirit as obedience is. And so they'll be obedient. That doesn't mean they won't make mistakes. But if they make mistakes, they'll repent of those mistakes. Their lives, basically holy lives. And sometimes we'll think they're doing wrong and they're not. We can't look at it but through our eyes, right? If you ask Mary and Martha, they would tell you that Yeshua made a mistake. Remember their brother died? Yeshua was gone. They sent the message 3 days earlier, several days earlier, and Yeshua didn't come. Then Yeshua finally does show up. Lazarus is already dead in the tomb. For 4 days, he's already in the tomb. The sisters come out and they say, if you were here, our brother would not have died. You made a mistake. You should have been here. We sent you a message many days ago. If you would have come, he wouldn't have died. He died. You didn't come. You made a mistake. Did he make a mistake? No, he knew what he was doing, but they interpreted it that way. So we might look at someone and say, oh, they're making a mistake. Even if they're a prophet of the Lord, we're going to say they're making a mistake, but we're going to be careful in putting our judgment upon other people's life. But we should be able to tell by their fruits. Are they living according to the law of God? Are they living according to the word of God? Do they love God's word? And are they living according to it? Another test or trial of the prophet from Deuteronomy chapter 13. Even if the sign or portent that he names to you comes true, this is if he doesn't love the Lord, if he's not following the Lord, if he's not walking in the law of the Lord, even if the sign of that or that portent that he names to you comes true, do not heed the words of that prophet or that dream diviner. So if his life is not in harmony with the word of God, he's breaking God's law, he's denying of the messiahship of the Lord, even if he does prophesy accurately, don't believe him. Again, even a Jean Dixon type palm reader or whatever she is can get 30% right. The devil can do even better than that. He knows us pretty well. He watches us pretty well. You might be able to go into a palm reader or something, a tarot card reader or crystal ball reader. They might be able to tell you some things because the devil speaks to them. He's able to figure out where you're going and what you've been thinking and what you're doing. He doesn't know exactly what you're thinking, but he can kind of figure it out. Our body language gives it away. Things we said here and there, he's able to put the pieces together. He's seen enough human beings and how they've run their lives. He's able to guess pretty good where we're going to end up and where we're going to go. So even if it comes accurate, even if it comes true, I don't care. Someone comes and says, oh, this tarot card reader said this and it happened just like that. Doesn't matter. Their life is not in harmony with the word of God. And if they're reading tarot cards or reading palms or reading crystal balls, their life is not in harmony with the word of God. They're speaking to dead people or familiar spirits or what they claim to be dead people. Their life is not in harmony with the word of God. The Bible specifically says, do not speak to familiar spirits. Don't speak to the dead. So they're doing that and coming up with some kind of prophecy for your life. They are not from the Lord, even if it was accurate. It was not from the Lord. And Moses tells us, do not heed the words of that prophet or that dream diviner, that dream interpreter. They have to be in harmony with the law of God. They have to be in harmony with the other prophets. They have to have prophetic accuracy, and they have to live a godly life. When we just saw the text, the godly life is even more important than prophetic accuracy. So even a false prophet can get some things right. But it's got to fit all these tests, not just any one of them. See, the man of God, when he came to that old man, the old false prophet, he didn't have the ability to put him through all the tests. Couldn't see whether or not his life was a godly life or not, and that quickly, he was able to put him through some of the tests. And the true prophet has to match all of the tests. And with him knowing the specific word of the Lord, he should have tested that spirit, not just gone by him being hungrier. Another test. The Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet. This may be the most important test. The Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet, saying, turn back from your wicked ways and observe my commandments and my laws. Every single prophet had the same basic message. Turn from your wicked ways and observe my commandments and my laws. So again, if the person's saying the laws have been done away with and the commandments have been done away with, well, there again, you know right off. But it also has to be a message of repentance, a message of turning from God, turning from the wicked sins and turning to God. That has to be part of their message. That has to be the thrust of what they're about. Their calling is to turn people from sin and turn them to God. And that's what your calling is about as well. That's what all of our calling is about. Not just the prophets, not just the speaker. Whatever your ministry is, whatever ministry God has given you, whether it's a singer or helping with the video or helping with the sound or helping with the construction or helping with the cleaning or helping with the food or prayer or going and visiting people or whatever ministry God has blessed you with and given to you, part of that ministry is calling people to repentance and to obedience to the word of the Lord. And you would say, hey, all I do is slice bagels. Why am I supposed to call people to turn from their sins and walk right with the Lord? Well, all of us at some point in time have opportunity to speak to somebody. But also just in how we live. If we are living a life that is a repentant life and a life that is turning away from sin and a life that is turning to obedience to God, we are living out that demonstration and thus are giving a message in our lives as well. Every prophet needs to have this as part of their message. But a lot of the prophets today, a lot of the preachers today don't have this as part of their message. A lot of it today is just love and hope and positive thinking and encouragement and you'll do better and things are going to be bright and hopeful and happy for you. And you'll have riches and success. There needs to be a message of repentance as well. And a message of obedience as well. The prophet of the Lord doesn't come to tell you that you're going to have twins. I know someone who told me that. They were prophesied in a service. Someone's come up to them and said, God gave me a message, you're going to have twins. That person's now 50 years old and they didn't have twins yet. There's no message of repentance, no message of obedience. That person just probably didn't have something, had something wrong for lunch or something like that. I don't know where he got that idea he's going to have twins. But prophesying is not just about who's going to be the next president or this or that or all these fairy tale stuff. It's about turning people from sin and turning people to God. That's the purpose of a prophet. You want to know who you're going to marry or what job to have or things like that, well, you might be better off going to a crystal ball reader or something like that. I don't recommend that, but that's the only kind of message you want. Don't go to a prophet of God for that. The prophet of God will tell you to repent of your sins and turn to obedience to God. And pray to God, and God will direct your paths, and he'll lead you to the right person, and he'll lead you to the right job. He'll make it plain. He'll make your path straight. He'll make your path clear. Be in the right place at the right time, and you'll meet the right person at the right time. Live in obedience to God's law, and God will bless, and God will guide, and God will direct. And God will provide for all your needs according to his riches and glory. Again, I think this is maybe the most important of all the tests. And maybe one of the things that's most lacking of all these other five. Again, in review, they have to be, their message has to be in harmony with the law of God. Their message has to agree with the rest of the Bible. Their prophecies have to be accurate and come to pass. They have to live a godly life, which is harmony with the prophets and the law. And their messages have to contain a message of turning from sin and turning to God and to his law and to obedience to it. Out of this list of just five, there are very few people in this world who match up with that five criteria. Very few authors, very few preachers who match up with those five simple criteria, five biblical criteria that we looked at the scriptures. That's why we allow the scriptures to interpret the scriptures. You want to know what a true prophet is? Where do you go to find what the answer to a true prophet is? You go to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what a true prophet looks like. You don't go to an encyclopedia or something like that. You don't go to the internet. You go to the Bible, and the Bible just told us what a true prophet looks like. And thus also, in contrast, what a false prophet looks like. Five simple, clear tests. Try the spirits. See whether or not they are from God. Don't just throw everything away. Try the spirit, because God still has messages for us. In Joel chapter 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So up until how long will God be speaking through men and women, old and young? And what was the other two qualifications there? Sons and daughters, old and young. That's it, four. How long will that be till? Till he comes, that's right, till the Lord comes. So till that time, God will be pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And God will be speaking to people. And leading and guiding and directing us, because the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals it to us through his prophets. It's very important for us to know the right from the wrong, even till the end of time. Wonderful promise in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." A lot of people out there giving a prosper gospel. Just prosper, prosper, prosper. God will bless you, God will bless you, God will bless you. Without any calls of repentance, without any calls of obedience. But the word of God says, believe his prophets, all of his prophets, from the writer of Genesis right to the writer of Revelation, the entire Bible, and any other true prophets as given. As we read through the Bible, did every prophet that comes along in the Bible write a book that's put in the Bible? No. Do we have a book of Nathan? We already talked about the prophet Nathan. Is there a book of Nathan? No. There are a lot of prophets mentioned in the Bible who gave true prophecies but didn't write a book that's in the Bible. But all the prophets, writers of the Bible, and any other prophet that God might bring into your life, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. We have to know if he's a true prophet or a false prophet. Because many false prophets have come into the world. But if we're able to discern between right and wrong, between the true and the false, with this simple five tests, we will prosper in the word of the Lord, and we shall be established in God, strengthened in God, steadfast in God. And when that great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, we will be established, and we will be able to stand and withstand all the trials that will come upon this world. And we will be seen right into heaven's gates and past the judgment. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 and 19, God speaking to Moshe, to Moses, "I will raise up a prophet for them from among their own people." Like yourself, God is saying to Moses, like you, I'm going to raise up a prophet among you. "I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. And if anybody fails to heed the words he speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. I will raise up a prophet from among their own people," among the Jewish people. I can only think of one prophet from among the Jewish people who could even be compared to Moses. It says, like yourself, whom the people shall obey, who will speak all that I command him, I can only think of one person among the Jewish people who even comes close to being like unto Moses, speaking God's commandments, and of whom we will be held of an account to obey. Who is this prophet that God, that's right, Yeshua the Messiah. Moses prophesying of the prophet, the prophet of all prophets, and more than a prophet, of course, the Messiah himself, the suffering servant. He had to come first as a prophet, prophet rejected like many of the prophets, and then he'll come again as priest, judge, and then he'll come as king. First, he came as the prophet. Even right up to his day, people were still looking for the prophet. They asked John the Immerser, "Are you the prophet?" They were referring to this verse here. The one that God told Moses was going to come. Are you him? He said, "No, I'm just a voice in the wilderness, calling people to repentance from sin and obedience to God." John the Immerser is a good example of meeting the five criteria of the prophet. He was not that one, but he led the way to the one, to that prophet that Moses prophesied, that God spoke of, Yeshua the Messiah. And he calls us to live in obedience to him, because we will be called to account if we do not follow his words. And of course, his words are in harmony, because he also meets the five criteria. He also was in harmony with the law and the prophets. But anyone who comes along and says Yeshua changed the law, did away with the law, they are misinterpreting Yeshua, because there is no light in that. A man of God disobeyed the word of the Lord, and the lion came and killed him. It's important for us. We will be held accountable to obeying, to following, to listening, to heeding God's word, God's prophets, and the ultimate prophet, the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah. Be a life and death issue for us. Obey the word of the Lord. Believe in the word of the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And thus, contrary, do not believe in the Lord your God, you will not be established. Don't believe his prophets, and you will not prosper. Wonder why we struggle? Are we living according to those five principles? Whether we're a prophet or not, we should all still live according to those five principles. We should live according to the law of God. We should live according to the rest of the Bible, to the prophets' testimony. We should live a godly life. The things that we say should be truthful. And we should be used by God to direct people away from sin and to obedience to God. That's what God's called all of us to do. That's how God has called all of us to live. We cannot do it in our own strength, but we can do it through Yeshua the Messiah. We can repent of our sins. We can turn from our sins, because he has paid the price for us. He has become the sacrifice for us. So we can receive forgiveness. We can receive deliverance. We can be set free from disobedience. And we can receive of his Spirit to have the power to walk in obedience to God's law. There's some area in your life tonight, or maybe you've been rejecting the word of the Lord. Maybe you've been rejecting God's law. Maybe you've been rejecting his testimony. Maybe you've been rejecting the words of his prophets. Maybe you've been resistant to what anyone else has to say. Maybe you haven't been testing the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. Or maybe you've been listening to some false prophets. Maybe you've been listening to some people who do not meet the five criteria from the word of the Lord. Maybe they don't speak according to the law. Maybe they don't speak according to the testimony of the full Bible. Maybe they deny portions of it. Maybe their lives are not living holy and in harmony with God's word. Maybe they're not calling people to repentance. Maybe the things that they say are not true. I invite you then to ask God to give you strength to reject those things and to fill your mind, fill your heart, and fill your ear only with the word of God and with truth. Again, the man of God listened to one false prophet and it cost him his life. Test everything. Test everything. But when it doesn't meet the test, throw it away. Okay, to listen to everything, but test everything. And then stop listening to what doesn't meet the test. We live in an age where people want to just listen to everything and take in everything. We need to test it and reject what is not good and hold fast to what is good. So whatever area applies to you tonight, as we pray together, you're not living in somewhere in your life, not up to those five principles. I'll invite you to ask God to give you the gift of repentance and the gift of God's Spirit to bring you into harmony with his word. Or if you've been listening to false things, you want God to be over your eyes and your ears and your mind, you're only God's word. So we pray together. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your message. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your scriptures that you've given to us. I'm thankful that you've given us the gift of repentance. And I'm thankful that you're able to lead us out of sin and lead us in the way of righteousness. And so, Lord, illuminate our minds and give us the ability to discern truth from error. Give us the ability to discern your word. And give us the ability to be able to discern and put people through these five tests. And their messages, especially their messages through these tests, and give us the ability to reject what is not true and reject what is not good and hold fast to what is good. And Lord, all the stuff that's come into our minds, all our lives, Lord, remove out of it all the things that are not true and not in harmony with your word, not in harmony with your law, and renew our minds and give us new minds, new hearts that are fully in harmony with your law, with your word, and covered with the sacrifice of the Messiah. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.